Okay, we're up to Simon Tovresh Lamed Aleph, up to Siv Zayin. Says the Shulchan Aruch the following. V'chein, an additional case that we're discussing. You've got a three-walled sukkah. V'chein ha-konim ha-boilti min ha-schach le-tzad ha-porutz. Imagine you've got a three-walled sukkah, and you've got basically one wall is extending, is protruding, is carrying on, and it's covered with a schach. I think we should look at the picture in a minute. Basically, what it's talking about is that, the picture over here, picture number 7. Do you want to pass on that? You've got a three-walled sukkah, and one side is extended. One side is a bit further, and there's schach on that as well. That means that parallel to that, there is no wall. There's no wall. So basically, the question would be, what about the area underneath that part of schach that basically only has one wall, and on the side there is no wall? Does it make sense? Do you see the picture? Does it make sense? Yeah. So what's the halacha then? So he says as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, although the additional side is bigger than seven tfochim, havna lemeima audev said haregilo idaito, he showed with in his intention lasus kol asuka bitfanos erukois. He seemed to intend that he wants to make a long sukkah to a certain extent. He made quite a large sukkah anyway. So I would have thought that, you know what, if it's extending that part, I would have thought that it's unnecessary. He's made quite a large sukkah as it is. That's the area that he wants to use. So the rest, the leftovers, we would have thought it just spares, and that might not become a sukkah. That additional side im akonim shel schach with the schach einu min asukah, it's not really part of the sukkah, would have thought. Ele b'fnei atzmoyim, it's standing on its own separately. And I would have thought that really just one, it's basically only one wall, because this is not really part of the sukkah. Should that's the extension. It's not really part of the sukkah, although there is a wall, and although there is schach. I would have thought this is maybe not part of the sukkah. Nevertheless, ksheiro it's kosher. So if you've got three walls, and it's either the right side or the left side is extended, it carries on the schach there, I would have thought maybe the area underneath that schach is not considered a sukkah. But the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, actually, yes, it is part of the sukkah, and you can eat and sleep there. It's perfectly kosher. Siv ches. Sichecho b'shpudim, if he has covered the schach with shpudim, arrows or spits of metal. Shem psulim b'sachich b'hem, it's poshul schach, it's metal. It's posel for schach. You can't use metal for schach. Ve'ein bo'em arbo. And each of them is not 4 tfachim wide. Ve'ein bo'em arbo b'mokim echot. And you haven't got 4 tfachim covered by these metals in one area. Ve'niach ben shpud l'shpud kemeloi shpud. And he left between. So basically what he did is that he had this metal spits on the schach. Okay, so he couldn't be bothered removing them all. So what did he do? He lifted some up. One he lifted up, the other one he left there. He picked one up, the other one left there. So it's 50-50. Some of them he left, some of them he took away. So it's got 50-50. Now now the halacha is, it's got 50% of his schach is metal. And 50% of his schach he covered with kosher schach. So the halacha is that because he put schach kosher there, between the arrows of the spit, there was a space there of nosen sam schach kosher, put kosher schach there. Possible it's possible. Why is it possible? Why do you think it's possible? It's 50-50. Why is it possible? So it's interesting. Pardon? You need roif? That's interesting. That's very interesting what you're saying. Because Shulchan Aruch says another reason. He says, she'i'ef shaletzamtzem, she'emal lekol avir mischach kosher. It's inevitable. You didn't do exactly 50-50. You probably did 49%. You may have. It very well be. It's inevitable. There you go 50% schach. Could be only go 49% schach. So you basically go 51% metal. So it's possible. He doesn't say what you're saying, which is interesting. He seems to be saying that 50-50, if I knew for a fact that it's 50-50, it's fine. But over here, because it's inevitable that maybe I didn't take all the metal away. Maybe I've got 51% metal, so therefore it's a posel schach.
It's interesting because if in the previous things we've learned where we talk about 50 or majority,
yeah.
he never speaks about, he might not be exact.
He's
happy that you recognize where there's more,
correct.
More shape than
sun. Interesting, yeah.
And here is...
Your point is well taken. It's a valid point. Your point is well taken. It's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Then and if he's got 51%, then could be he's got more schach posul. Now, avolim hedif schach hakosha me'at al posul, but if he's certain that he had the majority of schach kosha, even a little bit, even me'at, even a little bit al posul over the posul, if he's convinced he's got 51% schach kosha, 51% is enough if he's convinced. Oi, alternatively, imoy posul nosen shesi. Or alternatively, a different idea that he put the posel schach was going into one direction, v'nosen hakosha or erev, and he put the schach kosher into a different direction, so horizontal and vertical. Then it's kosher. So either if it's for sure that if 51% schach kosher, that's fine. Or alternatively, if it did horizontal and vertical, it didn't fill the gaps, but it did horizontal and vertical, then it's kosher. Why? She'oz mismal lekol avir mischach kosher. Because then it's sure that it covered every little airspace, and therefore it's fine, even if it's 50-50, it's fine because it's covered the schach kosher. Do you feel this point is, what do you think about this? Since it's covered the schach, is there a picture over here? Yeah, there is. Since he's covered, I think that's what he's referring to. Check if that makes sense. If it covers up the empty gaps with schach kosher, normally that would be no good because it could be that you only go 49% schach kosher. However, if you do it horizontally or into a different direction, then it's fine because then it can be assured that it's covered all the space and that's going to be schach kosher. Okay, that's what he says. The Ramah says, "V'dafka besukah gdolah." This is only true with regards to a big sukkah that is bigger than 7-on-7. Aval besukah ketana, if it's 7-on-7 only, it's a small sukkah. Tzarich liyaz min hashpudim pochus mishloishim makom echad. You have to make sure you've got less than 3 tfachim of schach posul, because otherwise you anyway got running into trouble because it's a majority. It would be schach kosher, so schach posul that would be a problem anyway. So if it's a small sukkah, you need to make sure that you got less than 3 tfachim of problematic schach. What do you think about this, practically speaking? What do you think about this? You'll be the one to. If you've got planks of wood like this, so over here, if you take one, you leave one there, you take one away, you leave one there, you remove one, you leave one, you remove one, you leave one. Then we are saying, no, it could be 51% chach posel, so leave it, it's posel. It's inevitable, you can't know. So that's what we're saying. But we're saying now that if you're putting the schach this way over it, then if you for sure have covered all the gaps, and that's going to be okay. What do you think about this? Yeah. Then we've covered, you've for sure covered all the gaps, and it's for sure fine. You probably do, yeah. You probably do.
It'd be easier to see what you're doing.
Is that the point? It's more recognizable. That's a nice point. It's more recognizable. Uh-huh. Yeah, what do you think? If you put in this way, the schach?
I'm not sure.
Okay. That brings us to Sif Tess. Sif Tess is going back to Gzeres Nesorim. What was Gzeres Nesorim again? Gzeres Nesorim, we learned in the earliest sim. Gzeres Nesorim was the following. That Chachomim told us that, it's actually, you know, we spoke about that with regards to the bamboo sukkah, the bamboo schach as well. That if you've got any planks of wood that is more than 4 tfachim, 8 centimeters. How much is 8 centimeters? Like this? Yeah, like this? So 4 times this is, yeah, 4 times, yeah, a bit more. Yeah, like this. Okay, if you have 24 centimeters, according to many planks of wood, if it's, so if so it's called the exerus, so 4 tfachim, Chachomim said that since that looks like you're making a wall, although it may be kosher, you're making a proper roof, although it's kosher schach really, but since it's one unit of a plank of wood, so you're going to cover up your schach with that, you suck with that, people are going to think, hey, he's staying inside the house. Look, he's not even going, so I can stay inside my house. And therefore, there's a Chachomim made Gzera, it's called Gzera's Nesorim. That planks of wood, if they're more than 4 tfachim wide, you can't use them for schach. Gzera's Nesorim, that we learned about that. Okay. Now, Sif Tess is going to tell us a very interesting halacha. And it's about Gzera's Nesorim. He's telling us the following. If you've got a house, Bais, if you've got a house, which has got solid slats of wood, they're nailed in. שאין עליהם עזיבו, but they're not perish tit וצורס שמשימים עליהם, but you somebody made a house, or shed I should say, and it's got planks of wood on top, but he didn't cement it, he didn't bother finishing it all off. He didn't, I don't know why, using it for, maybe he's using it as a shed, I don't know. But he made the planks of wood, there's planks of wood there, he didn't cement it. No stones, no cement, nothing, he just did the planks of wood. Now, and he wants to make a sukkah out of this. We're talking about planks of wood that are more than 4 tefachim wide. It is sufficient. He can take away all the nails. Masmorim in nails. He's allowed to take all the nails for the purpose of making this into a livable sukkah. Oy, alternatively, that he takes between the planks of wood. He takes one away, and he puts kosher schach in that empty gap. Everything is kosher. And even hanasorim, the planks of wood, rechovim abo afut fachim white. The Shulchan Aruch continues. No, if it's more than 4 tefachim, it's a problem. Again, let's get that clear. You've got a shed that you really used for keeping your lawnmower inside it. Or you kept it for, what do you use the shed for?
Sukkah.
That's right, yeah, you keep the sukkah, very good. So, but you decide, you know what, you're not using it anyway, and it's not cemented. You're looking at that, you say, you know what, there's planks of wood there only. They're nailed in, planks of wood. You say, you know what, planks of wood is kosher schach. So he said, you know what I'm going to do, I'm just going to make this into a schach kosher. So, what Shulchan Aruch teaches over here, that you know what you can do, if you take the nails off, I've nailed in, you take the nails off, that's okay. Or, if you take one plank of wood away, and you put kosher schach there, that's fine as well. And this is even if the planks of wood are more than 4 tefachim wide. And this is a really big chiddush, because we learned that Gzeres Nesorim, that planks of wood are no good. Why are planks of wood no good, if they're 4 tefachim wide? Because Gzeres Nesorim, because people are going to think you're staying inside, and you're not going. That's a very big chiddush. Very big chiddush. Now, I'm struggling to understand why this is okay. And I'm going to learn with you the Mishneh Berurah, because maybe you can... I'm not sure. I really don't understand. I really don't fully understand. You've got a suggestion before we see the Mishneh Berurah?
No, it's even more difficult because in this case you are actually in something that
yeah.
He would have used
yeah.
before. He doesn't.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But people know he's taken the planks.
Oh.
I guess that's the.
That's very because that's because what you're saying seems to be what the Mishneh Berurah is saying, but I don't. I'm not claiming I'm understanding that because let's see in Sifkot and Chofei. Let's start from Sifkot and Chofei. Mishneh Berurah says as follows. Even if they're 4 tefachim wide, although, if there wouldn't have been a roof in the first place, and now I'm making a schach out of this with planks of wood, which are 4 tefachim wide, for the purpose of making a sukkah out of this, it would have been a possible sukkah. Why? As we learned earlier, as we learned in Simon Tofresh Choftes, which is the same thing, that a person should not sit under the roof of his house. The Yomrin will say, Mali zeh, what is the difference between this? Mali chadosh or a new sukkah, it's all the same thing. Planks of wood is awesome drabon in Zigzeran. You can't sit on the planks of wood. You can't, it's not kosher schach mit drabon. So why is it different over here? Says the Mishneh Berurah, and that's the answer over here. Aval hashto, but this over here, the zutikro hoiso, this was initially already a roof. Vezeh, and this individual, bo laso is maisa, he's doing an action, lehosie masmorim, to remove the nails, shelo, of it, and he shakes it a little bit, l'shem sukkah, he shakes the schach a little bit for the purpose of making it to kosher sukkah. This shows, this is evidence, he knows that the Torah says, it's evident that he knows that the Torah says you should make a sukkah and you can't just use an You have to make a sukkah. Vesu, and now lekele mixem shom tikras beisoy. Now there's no problem anymore of tikras beisoy. Why? Because since he removed the nails, since he shook it a bit, he shook it for the purpose of sukkah. Zemoy chiach. This shows that he's knowing that he knows that there's no tikkas base anymore. He's doing it. It's not tasim and osui, and it's a, he's making a proper sukk over here.
How is that different to the other case? Could you do that in what we learned before? You just take planks of wood and use it as schach, shake it a bit.
So he's saying the answer is no. It's not the same. And the key words are because he's doing over here lehosir masmorim. He's removing the nails. This seems to be the key words over here. You're quite right. If on a regular case that you're just putting the planks of wood there, if you give it a bit of a shake, that's no good. But over here, it's evident from the poskim and the Mishnah later as well, it's evident that it has to do with the fact that you're removing the nails. You're removing the nails. So since you're removing the nails, it was firmly attached, and I've removed the nails, that makes it into a kosher schach. Now, I don't claim that I don't understand that, because, again, the gzeres nesorim was that the person is going to have... He's going to be sitting in a sukkah, and you can see that, and it's completely covered up with the planks of wood, which are more than 4 tefachim wide. People are going to say, hey, look, Yankel is sitting in his house. I can also sit in my house. And he's not going to go into a sukkah, because his neighbor is going to think that he's not going to be able to differentiate between planks of wood and a regular roof. So here we're learning, and I think the gzeres nesorim makes a lot of sense. Now, what do you think about the whole gzeres generally? No, I think it makes a lot of sense. Planks of wood are no good. No, I think the gzeres nesorim is very, very understandable. No, what do you think? Gzeres nesorim, we were learning that since it was a roof initially, it was my shed, and I've removed the nails and given a bit of a... Now it's okay. So I find that part quite hard to understand. So it obviously has to do with the fact that you removed the nails. So you made an action, says the Mishnah Berurah, to show that you know already that it's not a regular... You know already that it's not... regular planks of wood covering your... It's different.
We learn it with other people may see.
Yeah.
And here, yeah. Just because he's doing the action, no one's necessarily seeing.
Yeah, I think that point is bothering me too. Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, it's a very big cooler. It's a very big cooler. Yeah, I think I agree with you as well. Yeah. But over here, we're learning a kula with regards to gzeres nesorim, that if it's been there before, it seems also that it was there before, it was used before, and I'm doing something to... See, because I understand a bit, because if a regular house would have been okay for schach, if the neighbor next door, he's seeing me pulling the nails out, he's seeing me doing that, assumingly, right? We're assuming that he can see me doing taking out the nail. So he's saying, well, why is he taking the nails out? Must be that regular type of house, regular type of covering, the regular type of roof, is no good for schach. So because I saw him doing this weird, this obscure type of nail-pulling activities, then that showed my neighbor that I'm not sitting in a regular house on sukkahs. Maybe that's what it is, something of those lines, because it's something about the action of taking away the... Does that make sense? Because I'm not convinced that it does make sense. So, pardon?
Because it's his regular house, and maybe people are more stringent about not getting water in, and
right.
Maybe that's made the cooler.
Uh-huh. Did you want? I hear. It sounds like it doesn't really. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the Maaser, the Shulchan Aruch does continue, and he says, "V'yesh mi she'oyim she'tzerich shloya nesorim b'chavim abo." And that I think is very understandable. The second opinion says, "No. Hold on a second. If it's more than 4 tefachim wide, you're running into trouble because there's nesorim, and you can't do that." The whole halach over here was with regards to if it was the whole nail. That's only if it's less than 4 tefachim, then it would be an eitzah. But once it's 4 tefachim wide, you for sure can't do that. So the second opinion, I think, the stringent opinion, is based on the fact that you're running into trouble, gzeres nesorim. Halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sif Katan Chavav, does say, dekayoyim, he mentioned that point earlier as well, he said that nowadays, I'm just reading the last two lines of this, or before the last two lines of the narrow lines, dekayoyim nowadays, noagu, the custom is shalo lisach klan nesorim. Nowadays, we don't cover our sukkahs at all with planks of wood, afilu p'chusim aso, even if they're less than 4 tefachim wide. Very important, Mishnah Berurah, we don't use planks of wood. We don't use planks of wood, even if they're less than 4 tefachim wide. We can't do this unless it's very extreme circumstances. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, the Mishnah Berurah is teaching us over here, that even if it's less than 4 tefachim, we don't use planks of wood. And the truth is, we discussed it earlier, in one shape, we discussed the reason for that, is because nowadays, I think it was agreed, there was a consensus that building constructional work nowadays as well, but it's not, will occasionally use planks of wood, and they'll often be less than 4 tefachim wide. So if that's sometimes beams.
The tefach, okay. I've seen that.
To rest the schach on is not the actual schach.
No.
I'm talking about the actual schach. Have you ever seen somebody using as a schach of a sukkah planks of wood less than a tefach wide?
Less than
On top of the schach, okay, that's a mamid. Yeah, that's fine, that's a mamid. It's supporting the schach, it's not the actual schach. Have you seen somebody really? Really? And what kind of, how thick was it? If it's less than a tefach, then it might be. See, if it's less than a tefach, it's better. Yeah, if it's less than a tefach. Yeah, less than a tefach, less than a tefach, yeah. He does speak about less than four tefachim. He does speak about less than four tefachim. Less than a tefach is a different shaila. You're right. Yeah. Well, is it? Do you think that beams that are less than a tefach are they used in constructions nowadays? Probably not. They won't hold a thing. They probably won't hold much. So that's probably the basis to be. Yeah, for any work, it's not going to be used. Right. Right. So that's the basis to be matching that. That's the basis to be matching that. Okay. Seif Yud, which is the last seif of Simon Tovresh Lamed Aleph. An interesting one. Is it called a teepee when you have a tent that goes like this? Is that what it's called, a teepee? Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Sukkah she'en lo gag. Okay, if you've got a sukkah that has no roof, kagoin. Shehoyu rosh ha'tfanos dvukoi zu bazu. That you've got the tfanos, the walls are going this way, like this, like a teepee. Kemin tzrif. Like, tzrif is like a teepee. Oy, alternatively, shesamach roish hadoifen shel sukkah lakoisel. Or alternatively, he put the roish hadoifen, the top of the wall, he put it leaning onto the wall. So let's pause. Let's see what. Can we just look at the pictures? Yeah. So that's the one of the two cases. The other case is if it's going like this. So that's posel. In other words, you've got kosher schach. You're leaning it. You've got a wall, and you're leaning the kosher schach onto the wall. What kosher schach is quite hard? Pardon? Thanks, Edward. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, bamboo is also quite strong, right? Okay, you're leaning that onto the wall. Is that, and then you sleep underneath, you have a tiny, you go underneath and you eat your suda there. Is that okay or not? Right? Because you'd have thought maybe it's okay. But the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, it's no good. You can't, because you need to have a certain, this is going to be a doifen, it's going to be a wall. Would be considered a wall, and you need to have a schach on top. You can't have that, so it's possible. But if you've got a roof which is one tefach long, oy, alternatively, he lifted up the doifen asomuch lekoisel min hakarka. He lifted up the side wall one tefach from the ground. In other words, so I can either what I could do if I've got it leaning on the side, which wall should we use? Which wall? Okay, imagine this wall over here. So I can either have this schach. If it's just leaning from here till the floor, and it's kosher schach, that's no good. However, if I have one tefach over here, which I'm taking the schach kosher over here, and then he's leaning over here one tefach straight like this as a schach like this, it's okay as long as it's one tefach.
Is it okay to sleep under?
Yeah. And more than that, if I have one tefach, I put a stone, a brick on the floor, just one tefach high, and then I lean this onto the stone, that's fine as well. Why is that going to be fine? Because the stone is the wall, and the schach, which is a very slanty schach, is. I just want to point something out over here. Because we're learning over here, that's an interesting source over here. If somebody has a question about the schach being slanty, which can occur. Imagine a very slanty schach. So is it a problem or not? So we're learning over here that it doesn't matter at all. You can have a very, very slanty schach, and it's fine. That's the source. Right? Because what you're doing over here, you're basically putting a brick of stone on the floor, and you're leaning the schach on that brick all the way till the wall. It's fine. Yeah, does that make sense? So basically what we're doing, we're considering the brick is the wall on the side, and this is a very, very slanty schach. And therefore it's kosher. So that's what we're learning from here. But there is an interesting one because the Ramah doesn't fully agree to that. The Ramah says the following. Hagav yesh oimrim. The Ramah says, some say, Sha'tefach lois yavir. The tefach shouldn't be airspace. Rak min ha-doifen oy ha-schach, only from the doifen of the schach, he's going to explain that. Let's see the next point. V'tzorich shebo shiva tfochim al shiva begoy v'asor tfochim. Says the Ramah, there's an important condition. You always need to have 7 times 7 times 10 airspace in a sukkah. 7 on 7, floor, right? With 7 on 7 tfochim, the actual floor needs to be 7 on 7. Yeah? Plus the airspace needs to be 10 tfochim high. In other words, I'm very weak in mass, but tell me if that makes sense. Yeah, what does he say? Oh, good. I'm sure that's helpful. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. No, just 7 on 7 tfochim space. Yeah. You need to have one area that has 7 on 7 on 7. On 10. You need to have 7 times 7 times 10. That means in this case, that I actually showed of you on the side, it's probably no good. Because I'm not going to have 7 on 7 on the ground. Do I? I need to have 7 on 7. So that would be 7 on 7. And then that area of 7 times 7 needs to be 10 tfachim high. Yeah, the old 7 on 7. It could be that you've got an extension over here, could be an extension over there, and that wouldn't matter. But you need to have a space of 7 times 7, which is 10 tfachim high. That's what the Ramah says. So in theory, could you have... See, I was wondering, practically speaking, I was wondering, how could you have this shaped sukkah that is like that? Very big. It'll have to be quite big, I suppose. 7 on 7 tfachim is quite... But it's possible. So it doesn't argue in... In theory, it doesn't argue halachically with the Shulchan Aruch. It just adds an additional point. It just says that make sure that you've got a space of 7 on 7 on the floor, which is 10 tefachim high. V'gam tzorich shiyudfanois le'acha shem gvoyim asor asuyus medova shem sachim bohem. And he says after 7 times 7, it should be a kosher schach. Dohem schach because it's schach. V'im kolat fanois medova shem sachim bohem. If the whole wall is made out of kosher schach, mutalishen tacha afilu tachas atfanois. You'd be able. That's your question. You'd be able to sleep on the entire fanois. There is over here at the end of the Mishnah Berurah Sif Kot Namedal. There's an interesting point, which is a rule, and I'm going to finish off with that. It just adds it over here. It's at the end of Sifkot Lamed Dalet. He says the following. It's a good rule to remember. Kol makayim, every place, sheish plukta derabvose besukkah. Whenever you've got a machloikas with regards to sukkahs. Imu b'deiraisa, if it's a sofek deiraisa. If it's a deiraisa question on hilcha sukkah. As linon lechumre, we go with a stringent opinion. So whenever you've got a machloikas, you have to go with a stringent approach. And if he has got no other alternative sukkah where he can eat, he eats there beli brocha. He eats there without making a brocha. Why? Because it's a machlokas on a deraisa. On a machlokas deraisa, if you've got no other options, you can eat there, but you're not going to make a brocha when you eat there. And if it's a drabonon machlokas, drabonon sofek, drabonon doubt, then, b'yesh l'sukkah achrita, if you've got an alternative option to have another sukkah, then roi lehachmir, it is proper to be stringent, v'lei lechsham, to go there. You don't have to, but it's appropriate. Uvei eino sukkah chita, and if you've got no other alternative sukkah where you can eat, yoitze b'zei chavosoi, you can certainly fulfill your obligation there, uvruche namem vorech, and you can also make a brocha there. For instance, machloikas on a drabonon, on a rabbinical question, you'd be allowed to make a bracha there as well. V'adayin tzorich yun k'tzas, and I'm a little bit in doubt, says the Mishnah Berurah about this from the in the name of the Primogodim, Adkan Lashonu. These are the words of the Primogodim. So that's how we paskin. It's a very important rule. So if you've got a sukkah, you're invited somewhere. Imagine you're invited somewhere, and as you're walking in, you're saying, oh, not sure, this looks a bit dodgy to me over here. I didn't realize this is... You've got a teepee with Dofen Akuma with a Lovud and a Tzoras HaPesach and two walls and you don't know where you are and all that. And then there's a tree sticking up there as well. You're not quite sure. So if it's a sort of Shaila of the Raisa, then Aloha is, if you can get away with it and try to, but if you can't, if you have to eat there, then eat there. But don't make a Boch of Leisha B'Sukkah. Don't make a Boch of Leisha B'Sukkah. But you can eat that, and if it's a drabon, if you feel that it's just drabon on shilas and not proper deraisa sveikas, you can eat that, If you have, you can eat there. It's proper to be stringent, but you can eat there, and you can make a bracha there as well. And the Mishnah Berurah ends off saying, "Adayin tzorich liyun ktsas," the name of the Mishnah, in the name of the Prima Godim. Okay, we'll stop over here.